Hi, and welcome to Just Push Play. I'm Sherry, and today's guest is Paul Wanky from Dead Original. I hope I pronounced that right, Paul.
Yeah, it's just Wanky, like I want a key.
Thank you for calling in today and joining me on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Sure. So, for people who don't know who Dead Original is, can you describe the music and what your band is like?
Yeah, we're just a three-piece. We're a brand-new band from Chicago. We're going on tour with Candlebox in November, and I would say the sound is like, you know, some people are like, it sounds like Nirvana and Alice in Chains had a baby. So, like, we were, like, heavily influenced from, like, kind of the 90s grunge sound. So yeah, I mean, it's like the less is more, you know. There's no backing tracks. It's just guitar, drums, and vocals. So it's fun.
Yeah, the way it should be, just rock and roll, really. So
yeah.
So you were basically a hired gun with Trivium and Rock of Ages and a couple of other bands. What made you get behind the drum kit and start playing guitar and singing? Is that something that you've always done?
Yeah, well, it's just like, you know what it is? It's you just want to make it. You know, it's like you want to be successful no matter what. And that's kind of the goal for me as a drummer. I would do anything I could, and it just kept snowballing, you know. Like, one of my first gigs was playing on a cruise ship. I was 22 years old on a salary. I thought I made it, you know. But I didn't, you know, because you're not building a name for yourself. And I just kept getting other gigs, blah, blah, blah. And then ultimately, it's like, yeah, I've always wanted to be a front man. So that's what Dead Original is about. Like, I love the idea of, like, I'm not a professionally trained singer. I just go out there and it's about, like, the passion, you know, and the songwriting, not about, like, being an American Idol contestant or, you know what I mean? Or the voice or something. It's just like, I feel like there's a lot of bands out there. They're just kind of like, it's like too polished, and it's like, it's all these backing tracks. It's like, you know, a lot of people say that, like, there's nothing that's bridged the gap from the 90s ever since nu metal. And I think it has a lot to do with Napster, pirating, and all this. But it's also like, I think people are forgetting that, like, what it means to, like, just have a band that and just writes music together. And I don't know. That's like, that's my opinion, you know. And it's like, that's just from my experience doing the whole work for hire thing. You know, I got kind of bored, like, being on tour with Trivium after a while, because I was like, you know, I have nothing to do with this written music. What am I doing here? So.
Right. Well, it all boils down to, like, expressing yourself originally. And I think I get that from Dead Original, you know. Just like, I mean, Nirvana was, you know, three-piece and, you know, it was a pretty cohesive trio, but, you know, Dave Grohl also wanted to get out behind the drum set and you know, express himself in other ways too, kind of like in the same, kind of like in the same vein, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think Dave Grohl does it really well, because he embraces his other band members' side projects, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah. Like, I know Taylor Hawkins is just releasing something soon, but
yeah.
You know.
That's really cool for him to, like, talk about his other band members' projects, you know.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
Yeah. So, as far as the trio is concerned, how did you meet Rob and Sean? How long have you been together?
About a couple of years. Like, it was just like, I hit up this guy named Vic Salazar. He's a big name around Chicago in the local music scene, because he puts on all these drum clinics, and he used to be the manager of Vic's Drum Shop in Chicago. And I knew out of everybody, because he hosts drum clinics, that he'd be the guy who would hook me up with a drummer that would, like, be level-headed, serious about the instrument, but still can drink some beers and be cool, you know.
Yeah.
And then same thing happened with our bass player, Sean. He was referred from the owner of Humtenberg Drum Cases. So it was all like this drummer connection thing. So, and it turns out Sean's actually a really good songwriter in his own right. He's writing like this pop rock stuff. And he's really good. I'm like, man, don't wait to go solo after like two albums or something. It's funny.
Yeah, just wait. Just build up a library for yourself before you go out on your own, dude. Yeah.
Yeah. I get it. Like, you're really good, man. You're really good. I need you right now.
So you just released Fade to Light as a single and a video about 3 weeks ago. Tell me about that single. What was the inspiration behind it?
Well, essentially it was like the groove, because it's in 7/8. It's like doom, doom, da, doom, da, doom, doom. And I just thought, I was like, you know, being drums is my first instrument, it's like I'm all about the drums. I think drums should be louder in the mix in songs. And if you listen to like, you know, some stuff from the 90s, drums were always kind of sitting just underneath the vocals, and I love that. And that kind of sparked the idea of the whole song. And then it ended up being about, in a weird way, the mind of a kamikaze suicide pilot. Because when I was looking for a drummer, I was jamming with this guy, and he was really out there, and he's like, dude, you should write a song about a kamikaze pilot. I was like, what are you talking about? And they showed me a photo of this kamikaze, and then we watched these videos of planes crashing, and I was like, it's like, dude, you're right. Like, what does it take to do that? So lyrically, if you check out the lyrics, it's like kind of pretending to be, what could it be about? Like, what would you be thinking about when you're sitting in that plane about to crash it? You know, it's like, it's weird. But yeah, it's other than that, it's a rock song, you know?
Yeah. So are you gearing up to release an album also?
Yeah, the album's called Bought and Sold. We just got a manager. He used to manage Papa Roach, and things are looking cool. We got Shauna helping us out. We're going to release like three more singles, and the album should be out in 2020. It kept getting pushed back because today's day and age, if you release a whole album now and then try to get some playlisting on Spotify, they'll think your album's old. Like, oh, that was released 4 months ago. I'm sorry, you can't be on the rock playlist, you know? So it's whatever. That's why it keeps getting, I don't know if you knew the history, but we were going to release the album like earlier this year, and then we hooked up with Dennis, and he's like, that's a bad idea. So kept pushing it back.
Yeah. So. Well, I was going to ask you about that because it was a little confusing to me. So I'm glad that you clarified it for people listening, because there are different dates that are out on the internet, and I'm like, okay, well, which one is the right one? So
I know.
So
2020, well, that's why
look out for it.
Yeah, that's why they say like in music, don't ever announce anything until it's actually going to be released. So, you know, it's kind of a whatever. It's just delayed. It's pushed back. So here we go. 2020 album will be out.
Well, that's cool. I mean,
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I was saying, we have plans to go on tour as well to support it. Just no official announcement yet. Nothing to announce.
Well, you do have a couple of good dates set up with Candlebox coming up. When does that start?
Starts November 13th. It's just like Midwest, a lot of Midwest stuff, and it's gonna be cool. You know, I love Candlebox. I think this is perfect.
Oh yeah, it's a good fit, and you know, it'll get people's attention and get them ready to buy the music when it comes out in 2020, and the singles as they come out too.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be really good. So it'll be fun.
So when you were in Trivium and you know, Rock of Ages and doing that stuff, Were you writing music to get this ready? I had read that you had written and produced most of the songs. Is that correct?
I've been writing like for the past 10 years. I just never released it. I was kind of embarrassed, like, do I sound like crap? You know? it's like you don't know. It's like you're learning as you go. And when I was doing Rock of Ages, I had all this downtime up. I had like 6 to 8 hours to like practice guitar and vocal. So that's what I would do between gigs. Like, oh, it's just prime time to like get this going. And then I came back home from a Rock of Ages contract. I was like, all right, I'm going to try to do this for real. And then I got a phone call to audition for Trivium. And I was like, oh, okay. Why would I say no to that? So did that. They offered me to move to Florida. And I just, something told me in my gut, like, don't do it. Like, who cares? Like, because that, like I said, after doing it for a couple of years, doing all the festivals and stuff, like, I got burnt out. I was like, I didn't write this music. Like, who cares? You know? So.
Yeah, well, you got to do what's in your heart. And your heart's telling you to do this now. So that's cool. I really admire that you, you know, stood up for what you believed in and didn't, you know, go with what you were offered with. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. It's weird. Life's weird, you know. You know, Dave Grohl turned down a gig with Tom Petty before they released Foo Fighters' first album. So, I mean, that's kind of crazy if you think about it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's Tom Petty. I mean, but,
yeah.
You know, yeah, he believed in it, so he, and look at what happened
yeah.
with that, so.
Yeah, yeah.
Good old Dave's not doing too shabby, so.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I always look up to him. He's super awesome. But, yeah,
so,
we're going to release an album, and we're going to tour, and things are looking good, so.
Yeah, so you supported Jonathan Davis and Seether in 2018. Was that experience a good primer for you and the band?
Yeah, it's really motivating when you get to do that because, you know, we're a brand new band. It's funny because my drummer, his brother, moved to L.A. to do the whole work for hire thing, and then my drummer that stayed in Chicago, he's like, he'll like call his brother and make fun of him. Like, look, dude, I got a gig. It's funny. But yeah, it's like, it's been really inspiring to say the least, you know? So.
Uh-huh. Well, did you grow up in Chicago?
Yeah, well, I grew up in, it's called Romeoville. It's like little north of Joliet, Illinois.
Uh-huh.
And,
yeah.
And now I live in the city with my girlfriend. And we just actually got engaged, and we got 2 cats, so.
Oh, congrats.
Cool.
Congrats to both.
Thanks.
I have 2 cats here actually sleeping right next to me while I'm doing this podcast. So, you know,
that's funny.
But, that's awesome. So, congratulations on the engagement.
And,
yeah, good things are coming your way, man. So, I have to ask you your influences, by, you know, with living in Chicago, were any of your influences, like taken from like the Chicago music scene, like in the respect to like the Wax Track Records or like Ministry or anything like that, or was it basically like the Nirvanas and the you know, Soundgardens and stuff like that?
Growing up, me and my brother, we were like covering Nirvana as kids. I was like 7 years old on a little cardboard box playing Nirvana with my brother. But after that, we really got into punk, really got into punk rock, you know, like Pennywise, NoFX. I love NoFX still to this day. I'm hoping one day I get to meet Fat Mike because he's so funny, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I watched that DVD they released of Fat, backstage passport where they go on tour overseas in like markets they've never played. it's good. It's good stuff. So yeah, it's like got really into punk rock, you know, and that's what we did as kids. Just
yeah,
drank beer and played punk rock music.
There's also a really cool documentary if you get Epix. It's called Punk, and it's hosted by Iggy Pop. But it goes through like the whole history of punk rock, and Fat Mike's included in that, and it's a really really excellent documentary. It's like 4 or 5 episodes. It's really worth watching if you get the chance to check it out. I recommend
it's
highly.
Called,
punk.
What is it?
Punk.
Just, where,
on Epix.
On Epix, or could I get it anywhere? I don't even know what Epix is.
Yeah, I would assume that you would be able to, yeah. It's Epix is like a cable channel. I'm not sure. It's like free on most places. But, yeah, it's worth checking out. And I'm sure there's a DVD or something on YouTube about it, too. It's a pretty cool, yeah, doc. So, anyway, so let's go back to, like, your touring or like, just being a musician as a whole. What would you say was, like, the coolest experience that you've had, or, like, the most unexpected experience that you've had?
I mean, it just feels like it's just something that's just, it's kept growing over the years. Like, something's been, like, the next big thing, you know. It's like, you know, it's, I would say, even just, like, the first paid gig I got was just playing on a cruise ship when I was 22. Like, it was, that was cool, you know. I had nothing to worry about. just play drums every day, you know. Not the style of music I like, but it was cool, you know. And then I love everything about it. You know, when I hooked up with Trivium, it was the first time I played in front of like 40,000 people, and the biggest show we did that I did with them was at Grass Pop Metal Meeting. It was over 100,000 people. We played right before Iron Maiden, and actually Nico, the drummer, was watching the set. It's like, hey, no pressure there, you know what I mean? And those are my top two, and then my third top would be, you know, supporting Cedar at the rave. It was like 3,500 people, and I was sitting there like, wow, like, I wrote this music. This is freaking awesome. There's people here. You know?
Yeah.
Obviously, they were there to see Cedar, but still, it was like, this is awesome. You know?
Well, it's a pretty good, you know, a good-sized crowd to, you know, step out on stage to, you know, to perform for with their own stuff, you know.
Yeah, it was been really cool. And what's surprising is actually the Jonathan Davis crowd was like more receptive, which is weird. I thought the Cedar crowd like, oh, these guys are cool, but it was like we felt like we had to like gain their respect or something. I don't know. I think the rock world is kind of like really picky, you know. So.
Yeah, it's really weird and picky. Yeah.
So
what else can you, tell us about the band? Or in closing, what do you want to share about the original?
Yeah, if they just go to our website, deadoriginal.com, they can pre-save Fade to Light that's being released November 1st. We got a few more singles coming up, and then you can order a copy, an autographed copy of a CD now before the official release in 2020. We're actually going to put copies in stores just to kind of do it. I don't know if people buy CDs from stores, but you could do that. You can get a physical CD now. You can listen to the whole album now before it gets released next year. So. Yeah, that's about it. And then if you're in the Midwest, come see us support Candlebox.
Yeah, amazing. So can people find you on social media as well?
Yeah, it's just on Facebook at, you know, / Dead Original, and Instagram, it's just Dead Original _. Same with Twitter. We're not really active on Twitter, though. I don't know. Everyone says Twitter is still popular, but it's like I can't. I don't want to log on to Twitter. I don't know.
Everyone has a favorite. Yeah, everyone has a favorite social media platform. You know, it really depends. You know, and some have one that they really can't, you know, abhor. So, well, Paul, I want to thank you for joining me today on Just Push Play, and, you know, come back when the album's released. We'd love to talk about it.
Sounds great. Definitely will. All right.
Thanks again. And
thanks
to everyone for listening to Just Push Play. Have a great day.